You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go. Can I ask you, when you say extender, do you mean a device that makes it longer or an actual penis extender that you use during sex?
Not the ones that like sleep thing. Like, I didn't even know that existed back then.
Yeah, they do. It's okay, guys. Come out of the closet with it if that's your feeling. But I also wanted to ask you, was there a point in time where you felt like your penis wasn't big enough?
Oh, 100%.
How'd that happen? The girth, it was really, really skinny. And so I noticed it's like the girth is what really feels the best to women. It's not about how long it is, because you don't have to beat the bottom out of her. Just be able to like fill her up. And that's very satisfying. And it's not as much girth as you think. I think there might be a misconception too. Like, yeah, there's a fine line, you know, like between being satisfied and we're not talking about fisting the poor girl. Just like, just right. It's the Goldilocks. That's what I call it, the Goldilocks. We don't want to sit there and just be jackhammered for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. I mean, that's not what it's about. Who wants cum in their eye? Let me just tell you. Think about it. Guys, do you want take a little dropper and squirt some cum in your eye? Does that sound like a good idea? If the answer is no, she's not going to want it either. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am Layla. Well, my guest today is CJ from Masculine Health Solutions podcast. He also has a website and quite a bit going on. But today we're really going to be talking about a lot about penises, which you guys know I love to talk about penises. I am not shy when it comes to discussing these matters. But before we get too far into it, I'm just going to welcome CJ to the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thanks for being here. So if you, CJ, could just kind of start us off by tell everyone a little bit about your backstory, who you are, what you're all about.
All right. So starting off, I mean, I've always been to health, fitness, right? And as a guy, I've always wanted to be a guy that can, you know, basically be the best version of myself, right? And obviously that includes having the best penis possible. So as a personal trainer and as a fitness, any guy in the locker room will tell you, you know, it's a conversation that comes up, right? And I think now it's starting to get more traction. Now I'm starting to see it more. It's more talked about openly, but back in the day, you know, and this is 10 years ago when I got into this, it was kind of like a hush-hush kind of thing, right? But I kind of started to delve into it with an extender, and I bought these pills, right? But these pills cost me like $500.
Now,
and I was like,
can I ask you, when you say extender, do you mean a device that makes it longer or an actual penis extender that you use during sex?
Not the ones that like the sleep thing. Like, I didn't even know that existed back then.
Yeah, they do.
Because I know what you're talking about, and I saw that when I was searching for it. I'm like, what the heck is this thing? You put that on top.
It makes it longer, and it's got little nubbies on it.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of different designs for that, too. But no, I wasn't interested in that. I mean, I didn't even know, like, as far as, like, sex toys and all that, you know, it's totally foreign to me. So, yeah, I got this extender. It was like, man, it was a cheap extender. It was not good. You know, it was one of these low quality extenders. And I bought the pills. And obviously, you know what? They just kind of preyed on my emotions as a man. It's like, hey, you know what? This is probably going to work. So I spent way too much money on it. However, I did see that I made some decent gains from the extender. And I was like, whoa, maybe there's some truth to this, right? And I'm not saying that all pills are bad, right? Because there are some stuff that does help with volume. It does help as far as like male enhancement goes, but you do have to check what's actually in it. You know, there's quality ones that exist, and then there's ones that are complete crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like a lot of the stuff that you'll find, like Ben Greenfield Fitness, he talks about, he actually did a study for Men's Health and found out what they actually do is this kind of mix a sildenafil and tadalafil, I think it's called. Basically, like the key ingredients that you find in Viagra and Cialis, they combine it with caffeine and other stimulants, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, here you go. This is your male enhancement pill, right?
Yeah.
And it's not really healthy for you because you're taking a stimulant along with Viagra, and that's going to have long-term repercussions, right?
Right.
So, I mean, what I recommend is always go for something that just got like good herbal ingredients in it, right? Like Peruvian maca, yohimbe, even though in some places it's illegal, but that's up for discussion. But yeah, anyways, going back to the extender that I bought, I started using it and it started helping me make gains. And I started reading more about it. You know, there's different forums that I started to see, like Thunder's Place. It's another one, PE Gym, mattersofsize.com. And I started reading about all these different accounts and it was like an underground thing. And a lot of people, like I said before, it's not mainstream. It still isn't mainstream. It's a very niche kind of thing. But the more I got into it, the more I learned, and the more I started learning about stretching, I started learning more about jelking, I started learning more about pumping, like edging, all these different things that exist to make your penis perform better and bigger.
I have that on my list. We're going to get to that. Yeah.
No,
I want to get into the nitty gritty here. Yeah. I want to know about all that stuff. But before we start getting into that realm, what made you decide to start a podcast about men's health?
I mean, it was a combination of things, but it's like, I don't know, I started talking to certain guys and they kept having the same questions. And I would talk to my clients about it and it was like the same questions. So I'm like, why don't I just start a podcast about it to discuss this, right? Because it seems like it's something that guys are all curious about, but nobody wants to talk about. Because it's like, well, I'll always get like the whole, oh, what are you talking about? No, I don't need that, man. I don't need that. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, by the way, you know that thing you were talking about, man, that whole edging thing? How does that work, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Where it's like, bro, like just be straight up about it. And I found that, you know what? When I started talking about it, it gave other guys license to kind of just open up. And it's something that I'm like, it shouldn't be taboo because it's really not. I mean, you have a dick. Why not have your dick perform to the best of its abilities? You know, like.
Exactly. Exactly. So what, I don't think we've kind of really dug deep enough into this, but I want to know, like, you're passionate about penis enlargement. I mean, and about this information.
Yeah.
What got you, you know, it's kind of like people ask me like, how did you start doing this podcast about your sex life and sexuality and how'd you get going down that lane? You know, because it's not, somehow you find your way there, right? But I want to know, you know, what got you passionate about penis enlargement in the first place?
Honestly, the first thing for me was like, yo, I've been told in my life this was like impossible. And then when you do something that's impossible, you're like, wait a minute, it's not impossible. And how many other guys are suffering from like this mental paradigm that they've created of, you know, oh, it's impossible. It can't be achieved. And when I started to help myself, I'm like, you know what? Like, I just felt something within me that's like, I got to tell more people about this. And the other thing too, it's like when I see people who take the advice I've given them and make positive changes in their lives, like that's life changing, right? It's the same as being a personal trainer. You help somebody lose weight. You help somebody build muscle. Person never looks at themselves the same and they'll never look at fitness the same way either, right? Because they kind of like, it goes deeper than like you just helping that person. It's like now I've changed this person's paradigm and their approach to life, right? Because now he's like, yo, man.
Yeah.
And as far as the confidence factor for men, a lot of guys suffer from it. Like I was talking to one dude and he's like all bummed out because he had or has a small penis. And over time it started to grow. And I could just see this guy start becoming more confident, right? And I'm like, that's huge.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Seeing that change in it. Yeah. Like it's wonderful to see.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. To me, this is so interesting because women we've struggled with body issues. Like name a part on our body and there's something that we can nitpick or be insecure about or things like that. And so I found it really interesting as I was just doing my research on you and looking at social media and stuff like that. I'm like, I think this is more common than I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I wanted to do this episode to bring awareness. Like, it's like, okay, we can come out. It's okay, guys, come out of the closet with it if that's your feeling. But I also wanted to ask you, was there a point in time where you felt like your penis wasn't big enough?
Oh, 100%.
How'd that happen? Like, what?
Well, you know what? Initially, for I'm going to say this for every guy across the board right now. Every guy is consuming way too much porn. Every guy, right?
And we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
Well, we'll start off with that. It's just like a bad reference, right? And then I kind of just asked my wife as far as preference go. Like, she saw me working on length all the time. She's like, why don't you work on girth? I don't care about length.
It is so true. It's not about the length. It's about the girth. I'll just tell you, like, I had this guy that was a boyfriend a long, long time ago. And I can't believe I'm going to say, I haven't even been seen him for years. So I can just say, I used to call him Ron Gone Wrong. And he had this long, sceptery, like, penis.
Skinny. Yeah. Skinny.
And it wasn't a blood flow issue, but it was just like the girth. It was really, really skinny. And so I noticed it's like the girth is what really feels the best to women. It's not about how long it is, because you don't have to beat the bottom out of her. Just be able to like fill her up. And that's very satisfying. And it's not as much girth as you think. I think there might be a misconception too. Like, yeah, there's a fine line, you know, like between being satisfied, and we're not talking about fisting the poor girl, just like, just right. It's the Goldilocks. That's what I call it, the Goldilocks.
Which is 100% true, because like I gained over 2 inches in length, right? I was reading that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think like length is just an ego thing for guys. Like, it's just kind of like, look at me. Whereas it's like, yo, girth wise, I'm like, I only gained like half an inch and I had this reaction. I'm going to gain more of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it started to make the wheels turn in my head. And that's why I wrote that article about girth versus length. And it's kind of like, I honestly think that a lot of guys just, like I said before, you know, porn is obviously a bad reference and everybody's like, I gotta be gigantic, this, that. And I'm like, I mean, the statistically speaking, these guys make up like less than point or like half a percent of the male population anyways, right?
Well,
and there's nothing wrong with striving for it, but...
Well, but I mean, also, isn't the average size penis like 6 inches? Or
5 to 6 inches, yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
And there's honestly nothing wrong with that. I can make good use of that.
It's kind of like, you know what, from a health standpoint, if you're able to like function on all cylinders, and that's the whole thing too, is when you actually have good sex, it's almost like you should be focusing on other things. You know, it's not just what your penis says, right? And it's kind of like, and that's the other thing too, it's like guys just think I go to town and I just, you know, I hit it, you know, I hit it really hard. It's like, it's a very masculine approach. And that's kind of the one thing that even I'm learning more about to this day. It's like that masculine and feminine energy, when it comes together, that's the beauty of like making love, quote unquote, right? And that's where it really comes in. And it's not about going fast and like, you're not at a rodeo, bro. Like,
I've said it so many times on this podcast, like women, stop watching so much porn, guys, because women don't always want to have the pound, 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 pound. Oh. That doesn't do it for us. It's situational. Very few women, I'm not going to say that no women like that, or that at certain points, you know, it doesn't help, like right when you're on the edge of having an orgasm to speed it up and go a little harder. But it's not like we don't want to sit there and just be jackhammered for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. I mean, that's not what it's about. And so again, that's really kind of why the length thing. You know what I mean? Like, you could sit there and poke me, but it's not it's not very satisfying. So,
and it goes beyond the whole just like length paradigm that a lot of guys have created. Yeah. But it's funny too, because I was talking to Josh Roche, and he's a guy that I had who overcame his porn addiction, right? And he told me this interesting fact that I would have never thought was true, but he's like, it is. And apparently girls on college campuses are now complaining that they don't want to sleep with virgins. And I'm like, I can understand the lack of experience. He's like, no. He's like, the reason why they don't want to sleep with these virgins is that they've all been conditioned, because of all the porn they watch, to think that every woman wants to get a facial as soon as he's good to go. And I'm like, what? Yeah, no.
What?
Exactly.
Who are these women? They want facials? Know.
Well, that's the thing, is that they don't want it, and that these guys think, oh, this is what they want. Yeah, this, this is how we really get them off.
All right. Well, let's dispel that myth right now. If there's anybody still listening that listens to me that think that women want facials, again, this is a porn thing. I had a couple weeks ago, I had Eric Everhard, who's a porn star, on the show. And he really, so eloquent about it. You know, when he really breaks it down, like, we are producing, it's a fantasy for you guys to jack off to. It's a fantasy. It's not supposed to be real like substitute for like real life and real life sex and real life connections and all that, you know, I mean, you just said it's completely fabricated, you know,
it is. It's kind of like,
and yeah. And I think guys have been conditioned to that stuff, but like we want it in our, like who wants cum in their eye? Let me just tell you, think about it. Know. Guys, do you want, take a little dropper and squirt some cum in your eye? Does that sound like a good idea? If the answer is no, she's not going to want it either. So let's stop pretending. Okay, I'm off my tirade here. Okay, so let's just bottom line it here. Do you think, does size really matter? And what percentage of men do you think are really concerned about this?
I think 80% of men are probably concerned with it. I think it is because it's a confidence issue. It's almost like, but like I said before, it's something in your mind, right? Like I know guys that I've met who are the most confident dudes. And he's told me, he's like, I got a 5-inch dick, dog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if that was me, I'd be like, oh man, what can I do? You know,
yeah.
All over the place. But the thing is, it's kind of like, bro, like that's not all of me. And the thing about men is like, obviously your phallus is almost an extension of you. So a lot of guys are like, oh, if my extender is small, you know, then all of a sudden I'm not a very big man. But it's kind of like, yo, man, you go far beyond that, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys connect too much of their identity into their penis in the same way that some guys can connect too much of their identity into something else, right? Like, oh, I am a college professor and this is what gives me status in society and whatever. Yeah. When it comes down to like, you know what? If it becomes super relevant to you, then it will be. But often, like, the thing that I kind of go back to too, it's like, you're not using your penis for 95% of the day most of the time. Like, it's not what, like, represents you as a person. But that being said, even myself, right, it's obviously something I want to work on, just like any other part of my body as well. Like, I still want to be jacked, you know, I want to work out, I want to be in good shape. And obviously, I want my penis to be in the best condition possible, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I can make it grow, then why not?
Hey, yeah. No, I mean, and this is, you're the first time when I was reading about your history on your website and you gave the numbers for where you started. And can you just kind of go through that? Like where you started
length,
and where you are now?
So originally I started around 6.7 at the time. And this was going back about
in length, right?
So yeah, in length. Okay. And then now I'm currently around 8.9. 8.7 kind of range, in that range, right?
A big jump.
It is a big jump, right? It was, and it took a lot of jellicking, a lot of manual stretching. Like the one program that I'll tell guys right now that they can try out is...
I was mouthing. You didn't lose me. I just went, manual stretching. Ow.
Depends on how hard you do it.
That's what you saw my face do. I'm like, oh.
I mean, honestly, it was part of the program. And when you start off, that's the thing too, is that you'll make newbie gains. So, I mean, I have a free program on my website. The one program that I use is JP's 90-day program, right? Yeah. And that's where I started off, right?
Yeah.
And that's the one I think is available on PE Gym. If you just Google JP's 90-day program, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got two free programs on my website as well, completely free. They're just articles that you can do as well. And it's just, I start off, with manual stretching / jelking / edging, right?
Yeah,
it just carried over and that's where I started.
So, okay. And what about the girth?
Girth wise, honestly, like I said, I did not care for the first little bit. I believe I started around 5 inches and now I'm currently around 6, right? When I started, it didn't even cross my mind. Oh. I was all like, I got to get length.
You
know, it was a mindset I had. I had no idea. My significant other did not care.
The girth was better. And do you think that... Is this some sort of like, do you think media and marketing penis shames? I mean, is this?
Oh, yeah.
Is there something? Yeah. How pervasive is it? You know how it is for women. I mean, it's like, you got to look a certain way. You got to stay young. Don't ever age. Blah, blah, blah. Your boobs always have to stay perky. Everything's got to be perfect. And then if it's not, go to the doctor. Get some surgery. Get some Botox. Get whatever, right? So do you feel that men are sort of like bombarded the same way women are as far as their penises? Like they have, the marketing and media gives them reason to feel insignificant if their penis isn't perfect.
100%. For me, it's been set up because they know where our insecurities lie as men, right? And that's kind of like the sweet spot, right? It's like, you're overweight. We can make fun of you for that.
You know,
you probably won't run out and get like $400 pills, right? Whereas we tell you, oh man, you're too small if you're less than 7 inches. And I see it all the time too. It's kind of like all these different ads that you would see, you know, that show up on the taskbar when, you know, you're downloading a movie or people watching porn could attest to it. It's like, it's the funniest. I can't believe people fall for it, but it exists, it's kind of like grow your penis by 3 inches tomorrow. It's like, it's not going to happen, right? And as far as the shaming kind of goes, because you see that everywhere, it's kind of like there's a guy at work and he's big into like, he's a swinger / BDSM guy. And he was telling me about like that whole community. And I'm just like, sure, like, tell me more about it, man. It's crazy. But, and he was telling me about how like a lot of these couples or whatever, it's like they shame the guy and then the other guy comes in and he's always got to be bigger than him.
Yeah.
And it's always preying on that whole like, oh, you're not big enough, right?
Yeah.
But you see the media too, because the media is constantly like, oh, you know, he's got a little dick.
Right.
And maybe Buddy's average, but yeah. Now he thinks like, oh no, now it's too small. What do I got to do? Right. You know, what do I got to buy?
And we also say like, we also use that term big dick energy, right? And
so
that would be also by using that term, which I'm sure I do too, but it also, I use it however I use it. But it, when you think about it, it also then in some way means that little dick energy is not good.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Something wrong with little dick energy. I don't know. I mean, can have big.
However,
that big dick energy. That's what makes you a man. You know.
But you know what? To take from that, and that's the one thing that bugs me though. It's kind of like one that pisses me off though. Personally, is like a lot of guys will talk about how like, oh, she's a slut. She likes a big dick. I'm like, why can't a woman have the same preference as a dude? You hear dudes all the time talking about, oh, I like a big booty. I like a big ass. I like this. And right. It's kind of like all of a sudden now a woman expresses her preference and now she's a slut because you feel that you are not in that category. It's kind of like, hey, buddy, you're not in that category. You know, you still shouldn't, you know, take that out on a woman. And you see that sexual frustration kind of come up where he's like, oh, I'm not good enough. And they're just whores. I'm like, no, dude, like, we talk about what we like all the time. And why can't a woman express her preference? And if you can do something about it, which you can, then it kind of falls like the ball's in your court. Right. And that's my one issue in regards to that. Like, you know what? A woman should have the ability to express the fact that, hey, I prefer a bigger dick. It is what it is.
Yeah, we all have our preferences. But I will say that from my experience among women, there's very few of us that are size queens.
Yeah.
I mean, some are. That's just their thing. Yeah. Consider it like it's just a preference. That's the way they want it. And there you go. That they're just, that's how they.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
No, yeah.
But I think but honestly, my experience is most women are just, they're happy with an average size cock that's got decent girth and is really about how you use it. I mean, you could have the biggest dick in the world and be the shittiest lover. And so we just really care about what you're doing with it. So,
exactly,
If we can get off and you're helping make that happen or you're solely making that happen, fantastic. Oh. But yeah, if you're bad, it's really more like worry more about your skills in the bedroom rather than your dick size. That's my opinion. But
exactly. It's kind of like, because you can have the biggest dick on earth and you can't find a clitoris. Have fun then. You know, like.
Totally. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not just about that. Because if you think that just putting it in is going to get the job done, you're wrong.
Yeah. 100%.
Listen to my podcast. I have tons of experts on that can help you raise your sexual skills.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So what types of results, we talked about what types of results you've been able to achieve. Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's a big jump. And then that's an inch in girth. That's considerable. I mean, that's amazing to me, actually. Like, it just, why can't this work for women's boobs?
Yeah, I don't know if there's some technique, like some ancient Indian technique.
Maybe it wouldn't do the same effect. Maybe it would just sag them down. It wouldn't,
maybe.
They wouldn't go, they maybe they would just go down and not out and fuller, but I'm pretty sure they have like breast creams that are supposed to make them swell and grow. Like women will put stuff on their lips that are supposed to plump their lips.
Plump you
know,
them up,
they
yeah.
probably, I don't know if any of that stuff works, but I kind of assume not.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems pretty pricey.
That's pretty cool. I mean, honestly, that you can, because if a woman wants larger breasts, she's going to have to get surgery. And it seems really cool that this is something that if a man wants to increase the size, look, there's options out there that you can do it. And it's legit. It's not like backwater snake oil salesman thing.
No, that's the one thing that like, and talk to enough guys will all say the same thing. But the one thing that I find with younger guys is that they're immature in their approach to it. And they expect it to work like overnight. And I'm like, dude. And that's the thing. It's like, I kind of have the bodybuilding approach when I get into it, right? Where I put it in reps, I put it in sets. It's kind of the same way I do a personal trainer, you know, like fitness program. I'm like, everything has to line up in a certain way, you're not going to get there by using something or doing something for half an hour a day. You know, you got to put a little bit more time into it. And maybe if you wear like an ADS or guys that hang and stuff, and that's kind of the one thing that I will say as a warning is like, bro, don't expect any results if you're not going to put the time in. If you're not dedicated, right, it won't work. And maybe surgery is the best route for you, right? Because there are some surgeries that exist. I don't want to do them because they look, they basically chopped the suspensory ligament and there's some other stuff. That I'm like, ooh, I watched one done. I was like, whoa.
Oh, that just sounds awful. Yeah. So how are you, you know, if a man wants to do this, he wants to get some girth, get some additional length, how do you advise men to go about increasing their length and girth?
I would say right off the bat, start off in a basic program, right? Kind of like the programs I mentioned earlier, you want to start off with that foundation. Full disclaimer, I should have said this at the beginning, but I'm not a doctor, I'm not a physician. You know, it's just kind of coaching advice. But you definitely want to start off with something that'll kind of build your foundation before you go into the more hardcore realm of things like hanging. What I would start off with is like a basic jelking, basic manual stretching, get to know your body more, make sure you're using heat to warm up because you really want your tunica to be warmed up. You want the ligaments inside to be warmed up. You got to make sure, and plus heat just kind of keeps away injury as well, right? Because you really want to get that penile tissue just kind of basically warmed up for the workout in the same way that you would warm up for, like, you know, you want to stretch or do a little bit of walking before you start doing some high impact cardio or whatever the case may be. It's the same deal with that. Eventually, the best exercise that I will say for length is hanging. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, no, I mean, this is making sense to me because I do Bikram yoga and I also, you know, I've been doing it, oh my gosh, like 17, 18 years. And I also got certified to teach it, which I don't do, but I wanted to go through the training because the training is very intense.
Teaches you though. Yeah.
And it teaches me, it taught me about my practice. But anyway, the point to all that was that I know how deep you can get into a stretch when you're in that hot room and when you're warmed up. Exactly. And it's just so much different. So much, you're going to get such better results. I mean, my flexibility is amazing because A, I do it consistently, and B, I'm doing it in the heat. So it allows me to get super, super deep into these postures. So it makes sense that, penis posture. You know, like,
exactly.
You're going to be stretching, add some heat.
100%. And that's the thing is that as far as your range of motion, it will definitely increase that, right? So, you know, range of motion kind of translates into like the travel. I guess you could like maybe travel a little bit further than you could last time just by adding heat, by implementing heat.
Yeah.
And the number one thing, if a guy is looking for length, I would say hanging. There are different, you know, hanging programs that exist.
What is that? This just sounds like torturous, but tell me what this is.
Oh, it is. That's kind of what my wife referred to it the first time she saw my extender. She's like, what is that, a torture device? Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's what I'm using to gain length. And she's like, oh, it looks weird. She's like, what is this thing, you know?
Okay, so what is hanging? I want to know what hanging and jelking and all that. And I know what edging is, but let's talk about how that relates to.
Yeah, edging's fun.
Yeah.
But hanging, so we'll start off there. I had a guy who, his name's Robert. He developed the P-hanger, which is a compression hanger. Imagine you have almost like a clamp-like device and you could basically just squeeze down on it. And you could put it like in the middle of your shaft, at the top of your shaft, or right above the glands, right? You don't want to put that one on the glands. That design is not created for that, right? And basically what you do is you just attach the weights and you kind of just stand there and just let it do its thing, right? And yeah, hanging has existed for forever. I mean, it's...
Does this hurt?
No, the thing is you have to condition yourself for it. Like, you're not going to... Same deal as the gym. You know, you're not going to jump in and try to bench press 400 pounds if you can't bench press two plates, right?
I'm imagining men bracing themselves on a table the way women brace themselves on a table when they're about ready to get waxed, and right, right in the inner part of their lips. It hurts like a motherfucker. Are you just like bracing, like, okay, go?
Oh no, this is much. You know what? Honestly, it's comfortable. I'll do like 5 pounds. Most I've gone up to is like 10 pounds. I myself, you know, I haven't partaken in it really. Like, I was looking to get into it more last year, but at the same time, with COVID, kids in the house, you need more time for this exercise too. So I'm like, well, you know what? This is probably not going to work. But that being said, like Robert, the guy I was talking to, he gained over 2 inches of length doing hanging, right? Mm-hmm. And His design, like I said, he has that compression kind of model, right? So that's almost like where it just clamps on your dick. The other gentleman that I had on my show was Daniel Gray from Jellic to Gain. And this guy, I think he gained over 1.5 inches. I'm in his WhatsApp group. The guy is awesome. Check out jellictogain.com. Check now, out keyhanger.de. You know, these guys.
Are there any before and after pictures?
Yeah, Daniel actually has it on his Twitter.
Okay.
So if you go to at Jellic to Gain,
strictly because I'm curious. But now, what, your dick doesn't get like, does it get like stretch marks on it? Like, because it's skin.
Actually, yeah, mine kind of did. Yeah, it kind of did a little bit. Plus, like, it's the one thing. The one
you
thing
might just
that
ask the weirdest questions. I'm like, are you kidding? We got to think about the aesthetics. See what's going on here. Okay.
You don't want to look all weird, but yeah. I mean, the one thing in this, like, I guess the biggest difference from like making it longer is like, I saw like my pubic hair that used to be on my mound kind of start to go more, you know, on the shaft, right? So, more on the
base, but,
so that's kind of weird.
They're migrating.
Yeah, they start migrating a little bit further up, and I'm like, that's kind of odd. Yeah, you know, like they weren't there before.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, whatever comes with the territory, not a big deal. But Daniel's design, he uses what's known as a vac hanger. And that's kind of where you basically create like a vacuum seal with like a rubber tip that kind of goes over the glands. And that one just basically, you put the weight, it almost has like a little ring around like the rig that's carrying the glands. I forgot what it's called, but you put that around and you just basically attach the weights to that and you're good to go.
Okay.
And same deal, you kind of stand there and you can change the angles too. So a lot of guys do a between the cheeks angle, it's called, where you kind of lift up your legs. Like imagine a pregnant woman, right? It's like you put your legs up and it stretches it down because what that does, it stretches the suspensory ligament, right? Okay. And it just really fatigues the ligaments in there. And so it's super effective.
Now, is there anything about that stretching of that ligament that could be, I don't know, detrimental as you get older and you lose a little bit of functionality of your penis, maybe from, in your 70s or 60s? Like, I don't know. Is there anything that stretching, do you know, is that information out there? I'm just curious.
From what I've read on the forums and stuff, and like, well, from basic stretching, if you look at the tribesmen, the Batamarimba tribe in Togo and Benin, these guys, they've been doing it since ancient times. And in their culture, like, it's just kind of something that's, they walk around, like, you know, you've seen those African dudes that have like a long tube like thing like around their dicks, and apparently they've been extending since like the beginning of like time. Like guys have been doing it for forever. Yeah.
Is this part of like what, like whoever has the longest dick is like more desirable?
Well, they kind of, I don't know what it, I think it's just something they do and it just became like a tradition, but
yeah.
I mean, probably it's like, yes, I am the longest.
Do they have to, does that guy get the most wives?
Maybe.
The longest dick gets the most wives.
But that's the original extender, and these guys have never complained about, you know, having any issues. And that's the thing too, it's like when I started doing PE and even when I started hanging, you got to pay attention to what guys call physiological indicators, right? And that's like, am I getting bad retraction from this? Am I turtling up, or am I waking up the next day harder than usual and with improved circulation? And for me, it's kind of like, that's always what I've gauged it for myself. Okay. And I've noticed that when I'm doing something right, I'm always waking up the next day with like good morning wood.
You know,
my circulation's better. Yeah. My erections feel awesome. I don't see anything negative. However, if I'm overdoing it, I can tell my penis is fatigued.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of like, it's just floppy. And it's like, okay, maybe this, I got to lay off a little bit.
Okay. Now, this is this oddball question. I'm going to ask it because you brought it up. Why do men wake up with early morning hard-ons?
Well, I heard it's a circulation thing, actually, but it's almost like your body telling you you're healthy. I mean, and it's almost, actually, to add to that, I remember reading about this now, is that the older you get, your penis will atrophy, right? If you don't use it. So that almost,
you don't lose it, guys.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you don't have any circulation, that's the thing with, like, I was reading about this because somebody was talking about in the NoFap community that they found that, I didn't use it. I didn't watch porn. I didn't get any sexual stimulation. He's like, I am a Zen master. And then he talked about how he lost, like, you know, he's like, but I think my penis got smaller. And apparently it was just due to bad circulation. The fact that this guy was not using it, right? And it's not necessarily that he lost all that size, because he said, like, obviously he started doing some edging and jelking exercise just to kind of bring it back. And he's like, yeah, it came back like pretty quick. But over time, the older you get, you know, things start to slow down. Things don't function as good. And in the same way that if you don't have any more muscle mass, you're not working on that muscle, like maintaining that muscle mass either, it's going to start to atrophy. It just kind of shrivels up with time. So you got to make sure that you keep your health. The best way to do that, you know, stay healthy, make sure you get morning wood. It's a good indicator.
Right. So, yes, I love me some good morning wood. I do. I love morning sex. It's so much fun. I'm all about
it. Just relaxing. Yeah.
It's just nice to start your day off with an orgasm. Women wake up horny too.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Our blood flow's going. Our little lady boners get going. Yeah.
Just kind of like, oh, it's that time.
I mean, it's perfect. Like, because you know you usually have to be quick. It's like, okay, let's just do this quick. It's not a lot of, this doesn't have to be a big commitment. But it's fun to start your day with an orgasm and to have and then get out of bed. Yeah, I love that. I want to know, what is jelking?
Jelking is an old Arabic exercise, apparently, and that's where the name comes from. But it's almost like you want to get your penis about 70 to 80% erect. Then you'll make an okay sign with your finger. And you kind of start on the upper side of the penis. You start running it down right till you get to the glands. And you alternate with the other hand. And that's a jelk. You know, and that's pretty much all there is to it.
What does that do?
So what it does more than anything, because you are stretching the penis, right, for length purposes, but you're also at the same time, depending on how you hold it, the inner chambers of the penis will be expanded as well. Yeah. So it will increase the girth, right? And I think the biggest thing about that too is that it helps good blood flow to kind of just get into the penis and allow it to grow over time, right? You know, usually I do it now more as a recovery thing when I'm coming out of the pump. And that's like post-pump workout or whatever. It just helps to get good, fresh blood in there, helps circulation. And even doctors that, you know, will get guys that get penile surgeries will actually tell them, hey, man, like, make sure you jelk after you're done, because they know of its good positive effects.
Yeah. And what does the edging do to increase penis size? I know what it does in a sex act.
Oh, yeah.
But what is
it? Granted, I mean, I struggled with this one for the first year. I was doing it wrong because I thought, okay, you edge to the point where, you know, you can't hold on and then you explode, right?
Right.
And when you do that, I kind of have this philosophy that, you know, you want to basically like harness that sexual energy. It's kind of like sex transmutation. I've been reading more about that. And, you know, you want to hold on to that orgasm. But if you're always releasing that ejaculate, it's almost like you lose some strength. You know, it's kind of like that mythical warrior who always went into like war ready to go, but he didn't let go of that seed, right? He had it in him to make sure he harnessed that sexual energy.
Yeah.
When it comes to edging though, I feel like it's almost like just giving yourself a pump post-workout. So like, let's say you did your jelking, you did your stretching, and then you just do like a quick 5 to 10 minute edging session. And not only does it help with sexual stamina, because a lot of guys that I've talked to are like, hey, dude, I bust way too fast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? You can edge for that. So that's predominantly what it's used for. I mean, more than a PE exercise, you know, that's usually where I see it used the most for premature ejaculation.
Yeah.
But when it comes to PE, it's something that you use basically just get a pump post-workout. And if you do it with a cock ring and you're looking for more girth, it's even better. So definitely something that I use just for better circulation. You know, you want to make sure everything's firing up properly post-workout.
So do you feel you're having, now that you have increased size and girth, do you feel that the quality of your sex is better?
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of like, more than anything, it's like a mental like confidence thing. So it's a confidence boost. But overall, yeah, it feels better too. Because obviously, you know, more girth, things are tighter.
Yeah. Are you a little more sensitive?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, it's kind of like, it did increase a little bit of sensitivity. Sometimes it's kind of a bad thing. The one thing I will say was Kegels. Oh my gosh. I started doing Kegels and I overdid it and I gave myself premature ejaculation. So I was like, I can't control this anymore. So yeah.
I learned, you taught me something. I had no idea that men could do Kegels. I thought this was just for women.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a big misconception too, because a lot of guys, they'll actually recommend Kegels for guys with premature ejaculation too, because they have no control over the pelvic floor. And, you know, you start to control it and you're like, oh, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I can stop it. That's the other thing too. You learn how to stop, you know, yourself from ejaculation if you're getting too close to. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're actually, you can clench down. It's not necessarily always recommended, but you can learn reverse Kegels and all that stuff. And it does help, right? So it's very important.
Interesting. So what are some of the things that men might be doing that they might be surprised to learn are hurting their erections?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, I feel like it's the typical lifestyle factors that are killing you more than anything. Smoking, drinking, sedentary lifestyle. I mean, I think now men are just sitting around just playing video games more than ever. And it's crazy because, I mean, I'm 33 and I feel like my generation, especially, like most guys are just addicted to like playing video games. And it's weird because like they play video games, they watch porn, and that's kind of their lives, right? And I think that's probably the most detrimental thing for you want to perform better. You want a better erection quality, erectile quality. Learn how to actually, you know, make love. Like,
yeah, yeah, you, how to use that thing you got.
Yeah.
Jack it off.
Or watch not porn. Just, you know, constantly just wank, wank, wank. But
right.
I honestly feel like, you know what? It's a combination of these things. It's more the lifestyle factors that are doing the most damage. Mm-hmm. Along with, you know, the reference points that guys are using, which is porn. And you just combine these things. It's almost like a recipe for disaster. Like, I read the stat that in Japan, most guys aren't even getting married anymore, and that they're suffering almost like a crisis because they're getting married to computer girlfriends.
That's right. There's a term for it. I forget what it is. I have caught the research on that. I don't remember what they're calling it, but these guys like hire surrogate women to help them learn how to relate to women because they have no clue. Because like you said, they've been playing video games and watching porn. And then they have these odd ideals, but they have also, but they're all socially awkward. And they don't know how to relate to women. And so nobody's dating, nobody's getting married. Yeah, it's a really strange phenomenon. There's a term for it, and I can't remember what it is. They have a word for it, but yeah, it's a problem. And their population's going down. I mean, there's just, it's really, it's kind of fascinating. They need to listen to some Curious Girl Diaries. I need to bust into that market.
You got to start training the Japanese girl. Like, hey, I'm going to break in here and show you how it's really done. You know?
I know. Yeah, exactly. So let's see. You've had, let's switch to your podcast because I perused that as well. And you've had, and I want to give that some props. That's how we connected because you're a podcaster. But you've had a lot of interesting guests on your show. So I know it's hard to pick, but can you think of two episodes that are kind of really your favorites and why?
Oh, man, it's tough. I mean,
I know they're like your kids, huh?
Yeah, it's like I like all of them. Man, I had a lot of fun with, I'd say Daniel, probably because he was the first guy that actually came on the show and he talked about his experience. You know, he talked about everything explicitly. Oh, man. He was the guy that from JelkToGain.com.
Okay.
He shed a light on the a lot of light on the subject. I mean, he verified all the other things that, you know, obviously I had seen, but, you know, talking to somebody about it, you know, really made it real for me.
Do you know what episode that is? That someone could reference if they wanted to go. It sounds like that's a good one. That's a really good place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 36, I think, if I'm not 36? Mistaken.
His name is
36. Daniel from Jelk to Gain. He's on 36 and 37. He's on two episodes.
Oh, okay. Back. Perfect. There you go. We're going to plug those. Guys, go listen to 36 and 37 if you're really interested in this. Okay. And then what would be like your second? What do you think like your second?
I'd go with the one that I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from fans. And that's the one, Overcoming Porn Addiction with Josh Roche. Because I think a lot of young guys need to hear that, right? And a lot of guys will tell me like they've used that one as a reference. Like, and so I'll guess for the fans, you know, the guys, my followers and all them, you know, a lot of them have commented on how, you know, that one's been really beneficial to see a guy that's overcome that. So I think that's huge and really kind of validated my work too, right? Because I kind of felt like, hey, you know, it's cool to have somebody come on, talk about this, you know, point people in the right direction.
Yeah. Since I've been doing this show, I've been hearing about it more and more. Porn addiction. I've spoken to a gentleman who, you know, I was considering having come on the show who speaks on this. And I just wonder how, you're a guy, right? How pervasive is it? Is it really like that big of a problem?
I think it's a bigger problem now than it ever was like back in the day. Like now it's like, could you imagine being a child, like a 5-year-old kid, and imagine that you go to a tap and there's Coke and sugar and all your favorite pop just flowing out of it 24/7. And you get as much of it as possible. Man, it's going to be extremely difficult to get that kid to wean off the fact that he loves that sugar, that pop, that high, that craving. Get to the point where, you know what, some kids obviously going to like it more than others, but all, you know, that like mindset that you have is just like, it's free. It's right there. I want to go get more.
Yeah.
To the point where obviously you kind of reach burnout. And when you reach that burnout stage, which a lot of guys are doing, you know, they're looking for more hardcore things. And they're trying to find like that next high, that next fix. And I think that's why it's as bad as it is now. Because, I mean, like for myself back in the day, I remember we had magazines, right? Like, and that's kind of like, that's where I first saw it.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like what it is now. It's like now a kid's got a phone, a tablet. And now he's thinking this is all normal, regular, day-to-day life. And that's kind of where they're getting conditioned to think that this is legit. Like, oh, you got a bust in her face when you're done. I got to like damn near, you know, choke her. And because that's the thing too, that when I was talking to Matt Angels from Orgasm Lovers, and that's kind of his forte is about, you know, the different orgasms that a woman can have and how you should share these orgasms and about love and all this, right? And he's like, all you see in porn is the like it's all degrading to women, right? It's never like, oh, let's see her get off or you know what, like let's, and like he was saying too, and that's one thing I've noticed, right? It's when they rub the clitoris in porn, it's like, he's like starting a fire to like, you know, and it just, I'm like, no, and he's
and
like,
it's for 2 seconds. And I'm like, no,
yeah,
it takes longer than that. And they don't really usually show the woman having an orgasm.
No,
they edit it out, which is stupid. And, yeah. I mean, I have noticed, I do have my, yeah, I definitely have my complaints about porn. You know, I'm like, that's not accurate. I watch it and I'm more scientific about it. I'm like, she's not having an orgasm. She's faking that all day long. You know,
but it's, you know, like The Exorcist.
Yeah. I'm like, she's just like, hurry up. When is this over? I need to eat my lunch and we're moving on to the next scene.
Yeah. That's the thing too. It's like, everything about it is wrong. It's like you mentioned before, it is a fantasy, right? So it's kind of like, you know what? You want to go to fantasy land. But the thing is, nobody's telling these young kids that. They think it's all real, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like the first time, you know, they watch a movie where it's like, oh, this is the real, like, no, it does not happen like that, right? And that's kind of where it's unfortunate. But the thing is, for men, it's very addictive because it's kind of like, we're all visually stimulated, right?
So eyes are very, beautiful. Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like most guys are just looking at it like, oh, yeah, you know, she's all, look at all that. And there are elements that, sure, they can play in when you're actually having sex. But most of the time, it's like all that above and beyond kind of crap. I'm like, come on, man. It's like, especially when you're older, you know, you're married or you have a long-term girlfriend. You know it doesn't go down like that.
Right,
you just know it doesn't.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't. No, sure doesn't. So, well, okay, CJ, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right. You can find me at the Masculine Health Solutions podcast or masculinehealthsolutions.com or on Instagram. It's kind of like my favorite social media, which is masculine.health.solutions.pe because I got locked out of my old one. And I am on Twitter as well at Masculine Health Solutions. So that's where you guys can find me. If you guys got any questions, hit me up. I'm always answering questions. So just DM me.
I bet. So, and also you were so generous to also give my listeners a discount code. So guys, if you want to visit any one of CJ's sites, you can, and make any purchases, you can use the discount code MHS2020 at the time of purchase and you will get 15% off. And don't worry if you don't remember that. I will have it all in the show notes, all of his links, everything. So you can go check out his stuff. It's really good information. You have a lot of resources up there and podcast episodes and doctors that have been on your show. And so it's very informative. And I'm glad you're bringing this out, you know, out into the open. It's going to, obviously, there's a need for it. I'm just, you know, I'm glad you're out there doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I want to thank everybody for listening, guys. You know how much I love you. You're the best listeners on the planet. And if you want to reach me, you know how you can do that. You can go to thecuriousgirldiaries.com. And you know what my favorite thing is? Leave me a voicemail. Click on the pink tab on the right-hand side. Let it rip. You got 5 minutes to leave me a message. Let me know what you thought about this episode. Let me know what you think about anything that I say. And if you want to get a message to CJ, you want to leave him a voicemail, I will forward it to him. Make sure he gets it. All right. Thanks, guys. Everyone, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Mwah. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.